أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we thank Almighty Allah for making it possible for us to resume our classes in Bulughul Maram. In our last class, before we went on Ramadan break, we were in Kitab al-Salah, and the last chapter we discussed under that kitab was Babu Salat al-Eidain, the chapter talking about ruling concerning the two Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and we discussed that in detail. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to the next bab, which is Babu Salat al-Kusuf. This chapter is going to talk about Salat al-Kusuf, that is prayer for solar eclipse. That's what we mean by al-Kusuf. Solar eclipse, either eclipse, mostly eclipse of the sun, okay, or eclipse of the moon. Okay, eclipse of the sun or eclipse of the moon. The word al-Kusuf, okay, many scholars are of the opinion that the word al-Kusuf can be used to refer to eclipse of the sun and eclipse of the moon together. So we say Kusuf, we can say Kusuf al-Shams, we can also say Kusuf al-Qamar. Okay, while some other scholars of the opinion that Kusuf is specifically for sun, okay, while eclipse of the moon should be called al-Kusuf with Kha. Okay, al-Kusuf with Kha. Those who are saying that Kusuf can be used for both sun and moon, they are opinion on this first hadith we are going to read. You will see, as we read it, the Prophet will say, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. He now said, لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ. Alright, لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِ. Prophet, both the sun and the moon are signs of Allah. They do not eclipse. So he used the word يَنْكَسِفَانِ for both sun and the moon. So based on that, they said the kusuf can be used to refer to eclipse of the sun and also eclipse of the moon. While those that are saying that kusuf is to be used for qamar, while kusuf for sun are saying that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically used kusuf for al-qamar. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah says, فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ. Alright, Allah is talking about events that will take place during the last hour. Okay, and Allah says, فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ. When the sight, when the eyes become dazzled, when you are dazzled by the things you see on that day, you now say, وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ. And the moon is eclipsed. Okay, so based on that, those scholars are saying that kusuf is for sun, kusuf is for al-qamar. Okay, but in any case, to the best of my knowledge, I want to say that both can be used. Alright, we can use kusuf for both sun and moon, and you can also use kusuf for both sun and moon. Because we're going to come to another hadith again, where Abdullah ibn Abbas says, in khasafat al-sham. In khasafat al-sham, meaning he used kusuf for even sham. That's why the fact that Allah used kusuf for al-qamar in the Quran. But in this hadith, as we shall come to see, Abdullah ibn Abbas used kusuf for al-qamar as well. So it's not a problem. All can be used. Okay, so we can have kusuf al-sham for al-qamar, or we can have kusuf al-sham wa al-qamar. Now, eclipse of the sun happens during the daytime, isn't it? Of the whole world. It happens during the daytime when the moon comes in between the sun and the earth. Okay, when the moon comes in between the sun and the earth. That way the light, the rays of the sun will not reach some part of the earth again. And that's why during the daytime all of a sudden everywhere will go dark. Alright, because of that blockage. That is eclipse of the sun. While eclipse of the moon is when the earth comes in between the sun and the moon. Alright, leading to darkness in the horizon, also in the night. That happens usually in the night. So that is eclipse. Now, these things are, you know, extraordinary events. Okay, so when they happen, it makes somebody to become curious. You wonder what is happening, isn't it? So when it happens like that, what do you do? In the past, during the time of the Jahiliyyah or during the olden days, when such a thing happened, the Arab used to feel that it happened because somebody, a great person, has died, or because a great person has been born into this world, and that is why such a thing will happen. So that understanding was still with some of the companions, and that was why they made a similar statement when the Prophet lost his son Ibrahim, as we shall see in the first hadith. The first hadith here is the hadith of Al-Mughira. It says, عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال انكسفت الشمس على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم مات إبراهيم. Okay, Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah said that there was sun epic, there was epic of the sun during the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah, Yawma Mata Ibrahim, the day Ibrahim died. Who is Ibrahim? Ibrahim is the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, his mother is a slave woman called Mariatu Al-Qibtiyya. Alright, Mariatu Al-Qibtiyya, she is an Egyptian. Okay, she was a slave woman that was gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the king of Egypt at that time. Okay, so the Prophet did not marry her. The Prophet kept her as his personal slave. Okay, and during those in those days, you can have a slave woman that you cohabit with. Okay, so it was not a problem there. So she gave birth to Ibrahim. She gave birth to Ibrahim in the ninth year after Hijrah. The ninth year after Hijrah, in the month of Dhu'l-Hijjah al-Ula. Okay. So in the following year, that is the 10th year after Hijrah, during the month of Shawwal, according to some historians, Ibrahim died. By the time he died, he was between 16 to 18 months years old. Now, so he was a small child. He was still breastfeeding when he died. Okay. So when he died, the Prophet ﷺ was sad. Okay, it was so sad that he lost his son. Everybody, if you lost your son, you will not be happy, isn't it? He was so sad to the extent that he was seen shedding tears. Yes, he was seen shedding tears. And the companion even said, you, the Prophet of Allah, you are also crying. And he said what? He said, Al-Aynu Tadma. He said, the eye sheds tears. Wal-Qalbu Yahzan. And the heart is saddened. Okay, so وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا. But we shall not say anything except that which our Lord is pleased with. Alright, and now say, وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. We are saddened by your departure, O Ibrahim. Okay, so it's not a problem if you lost your son or your relative and you cry. What is wrong is to be shouting and wailing. Alright, or be beating yourself, or be cursing yourself. Or you say that day is the cursed day. That's what you say, وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. We shall not say anything except that which is pleasing to our Lord. Okay, but to shed tears, it's not a problem. Okay, it's not a problem. So, Allah Kulli Hal, the Prophet was sad. Now, the people around, okay, when they saw that Ibrahim died, and the day Ibrahim died, there was everything from the sun, what did they say? They said, فَقَالَ النَّاسُ. So people said, إِنْ كَسَفَتِ الشَّمْسُ لِمَوْتِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. People said this son eclipse is as a result of the death of Ibrahim, based on their understanding during the time of Jahiliyyah, that eclipse of the sun only happens when a great person dies or when a great person is born. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So the Messenger of Allah said to them, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Verse said, verily, the sun and the moon are two miraculous signs among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, what we put the light, then what? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. He said, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, among the signs is the day and the night. These are signs of Allah, the day and the night, the sun and the moon. They do not prostrate to the sun or to the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created this sign. Okay, so that's what the Prophet said, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Both the sun and the moon are two signs among the signs of Allah. He now says, لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِ. They do not eclipse because of the death of anybody or because of the life of anybody. The eclipse of the sun will not happen because somebody died. Neither will it happen because somebody was born. He now said, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُمَا. Okay, when you see them, when you see both the sun and the moon in a state of eclipse, what do you do? You say, Fadu'u Allah, or Sadu'u, supplicate to Allah, and pray. Hatta tankashfa, till they become clear. Okay, till they become clear. Mustafa alayhi, or fi riwayat in al-Bukhari, hatta tanjaliya. Instead of tankashfa, the riwayat of Bukhari, the Prophet says tanjaliya, which means the same. Or the all, both words mean the same. Meaning, you pray until they become clear. Alright, until they become clear. So that's what we do whenever there's eclipse of the sun or eclipse of the moon. Not that we should be doing victory and be jumping around in the street and be shouting on the front. That's what our supposed to do here. And I've done that. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be doing victory and be hitting ourselves and be jumping on the street. No. We pray. Alright, we pray. And we don't feel that we are seeing one thing inside the moon or like that. Nothing like that. What is it going to look for the moon? So there's nothing like that. We are supposed to just pray. Now, if it is the eclipse of the moon, okay, we gather in the mosque and we observe 2 rak'ah, okay, and the imam will recite aloud just normal prayer, okay, just normal 2 rak'ah of nafila. That's what we do if it is eclipse of the moon, okay, in the evening. Fine. But when it is eclipse of the sun, this is the one that has a special type of prayer. And that's why all the ahadith we are going to be reading here are going to be talking about eclipse of the sun, because this is the one that has a special type of prayer. But that of eclipse of the moon is just normal 2 rak'ah of nafila. You get it? So that's why Ibn Hajar did not bring any hadith talking about that. So the Prophet in this hadith has told us that we should pray and supplicate. Now, how do we do the prayer? That's what we're going to be seeing in the subsequent ahadith. The next hadith is that of Aisha. He said, okay, before that, he said, Walid Bukhari min hadith Abi Bakrata. In the narration, another narration of Imam Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Bakr, he says, Fasallu wadu'u, pray and supplicate, hatta yukshafa ma bikum. What you are witnessing is clear. Alright, so pray and supplicate until what you are witnessing is clear. Now the next hadith. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهر في صلاة الكسوف بقراءته. Alright, he said Prophet ﷺ recited aloud during his صلاة الكسوف. You know, صلاة الكسوف is a nafila. Okay, it's not among the 5 obligatory prayers. So, and it is going to be done in the afternoon. Usually, nawafil of afternoon, the recitation is to be done silently. The nawafil of the night, those are the ones that the recitation is to be done loudly, okay? But even if there is going to be a nawafil in the daytime, and it happens that it's going to be done in congregation, then the Prophet usually recites aloud, alright? Because when people gather, and you are now reciting silently, they can become carried away in the prayer. When you recite loudly, it help in drawing their attention to the prayer. So, even though the prayer is going to be done during the daytime, kusuf is some is excess of the sun, but since it's going to be done in congregation, the Prophet usually recites aloud. So, Aisha is saying, Jahara fi salatin kusuf di kirati. She now said, Fasalla arba'a raka'atin fi raka'atin wa arba'a sajada. Okay? Salla arba'a raka'atin. The Prophet prayed 4 ruku. The word raka'at here does not refer to raka'at, unit of prayer. No, it's referring to ruku. So she said he observed a prayer that contains what? 4 ruku, 3 raka'at in 2 raka'at, wa arba sajadat, and 4 sujood. You get it? 4 sujood. No. So 4 ruku in 2 raka'at with 4 sujood. Of course, definitely if you are going to pray 2 rak'ah, you are going to have 4 sujood, isn't it? Because in each rak'ah, you have 2 sujood, isn't it? So if you pray 2 rak'ah, you have 4 sujood. What is praying now is what? 4 ruku. Now, that's what is praying here now. 4 ruku. So how do you observe this prayer? Okay? The way to observe it is when people gather in the mosque, alright, and there is that episode of the sun, the imam will make takbir, okay? And he will start reciting, which is going to recite aloud, as Aisha said, okay? So he will recite Fatiha, recite Surah. He is expected to recite a very long Surah, Alright, it's expressed to the fact that well, Mom Usakom to see where Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying that he recited his good, you know, his standing in the prayer was so lengthy that it looks like you are reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. No, Surah Al-Baqarah, how many is it? About 4.5 hizib also. Or in fact, it's almost 5 hizib except one room, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just one rakah. You can imagine, that's just one rakah. So, it's expected to, the Imam is expected to recite, you know, a very long chapter or a very long verse. Now, then he will now go for, he will just takbir and go for ruku. Okay? When he goes for ruku, it's also expected to elongate the ruku as well. Alright, it will say it's a very long period in the ruku. Then he will say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Okay? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And he will rise from the ruku. But instead of falling for sujood, he will start recitation again. Okay? He will now recite Fatiha again and also recite Surah again. Okay? But this time around, the Surah will not be as long as the first one. It should be a little bit shorter. Okay? Then he will now do takbir again and go for ruku. The ruku is supposed to be lengthy also, but it will not be as lengthy as the first ruku as well. Okay? Then he will now do another Sami Allah Man Hamid again, Rabbana Walakaham. That's when he will now fall down for sujood. Okay? So you have two ruku in one rakah. Alright? And then you do two sujood normal, then you will stand up again for the second rakah and do it exactly the way we just explained now. So you have four ruku in two rakah and four sujood. The Muttafaqun alayh, the hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So وَهَذَا لَفْضُ الْمُسْلِمِ. This wording is for that of Imam Muslim. وَفِي رِوَيَةٍ لَهُ. In other narration of Imam Muslim, it says فَبَعَثَ مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي الصَّلَاةُ جَامِعَةٌ. Alright, the Prophet sent a caller, somebody to call people, to gather them in the mosque. But the person as he's going around informing people, he'll be saying As-salatu jami'ah, meaning prayer is to be observed in congregation. Meaning that we do not do adhan for salatul khusuf. Okay, so whether it's essence of the moon, of the sun or the moon, the imam will not, the muazzin will not come to the mosque and start doing adhan. Alright, instead we will say what? As-salatu jami'ah. So that people will know that okay, a congregational prayer is about to be organized in the mosque and they will now gather for the prayer. So no adhan for salatul khusuf or salatul khusuf. Then we'll go to hadith, next hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه من قال, he said, إن خسفت الشمس على أحد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. There was خسوف الشمس, right? Eclipse of the sun during the last time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فصلى, so he prayed. فقام قياما طويلا, right? The Prophet stood a standing that was so lengthy. نحو من قراءة سورة البقرة, right? Something similar to reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? Similar to reciting, meaning the length of the standing is as long as if you are reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. Some scholars, alright, some scholars rely on this statement to say that the Surah Al-Qusur, the recitation is supposed to be done silently. Okay? How are they doing this as evidence? They are using this as evidence because they are saying that if Abdullah ibn Abbas was among those who prayed, and he did not hear what the Prophet recites. And he is now getting, he is now saying that the length of the standing is as if you are reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. That means you are not hearing what the Prophet was reciting, isn't it? So they are saying that it means that the recitation was done silently. But this opinion is weak, right? Because Aisha clearly stated, Jahara bi qira'atihi. The Prophet recited loudly, okay? So if Abdullah ibn Abbas did not hear, it can be because he was far from the Prophet of Islam. No, there is no microphone that time, isn't it? So if he was in the very back, in the back row, he probably did not hear what the Prophet was reciting. And that's why he is saying he is now estimating. Okay? But ordinarily, the Prophet recited loudly. That would be a correct opinion. And I'm telling you, those who say the recitation should not silently, this is what they base their opinion on. Now, so he said, Nahwa min qira'ati Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, Thumma raka'an ruku'an tawilan. Then he went for a ruku that was also very lengthy. Right? He said, Thumma raka'an. Then he raised his head. فَقَامَ قِيَامًا طَوِيلًا. Then he stood a very lengthy standing again. وَهُوَ دُونَ الْقِيَامَ الْأَوَّلِ. That's what he said. But this second one is less than the first standing. That's in terms of length. They took that, then he will recite summa raka'a ruku'an tawila. Then he went for ruku' again, a very lengthy ruku'. Wa huwa duna ruku' al-awwal, but it is shorter than the first ruku'. The summa sajada, then he went for sujood. Summa qama qiyaman tawila, then he now stood for the second rakana, a very lengthy standing. Wa huwa duna al-qiyam al-awwal, but the second rakana is supposed to be shorter than the first one. Summa raka'a ruku'an tawila, then he went for another long ruku'. وهو دون ركوع الأول وشطة الفات ركوع ثم رفع فقام قياما طويلا يسكن في very long time وهو دون القيام الأول less than the first standing ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا then went for the second ركوع again a long one وهو دون ركوع الأول but less than the first ركوع ثم رفع رأسه then he raised his head ثم سجد then went for سجود ثم انصرف then he finished the prayer. After time he finished the prayer, he said, وَقَدْ تَجَلَّتْ الشَّمْ. At that time, the sun has become clear. فَخَطَبَنَا. Then he addressed the people. He delivered the khutbah. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّفْزُ لِلْمُخَارِ. The hadith is agreed upon, for this wedding is for Bukhari. So we have already described the prayer. The addition we have here now is what? Say, فَخَطَبَنَا. Alright, meaning at the end of the prayer, the imam is expected to deliver a khutbah. Now, what is the essence of the khutbah? The essence of the khutbah is to encourage people to fear Allah, isn't it? To fear Allah and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because towards last hour, right, there will be eclipse. Okay? The eclipse of the sun and the moon are part of the signs of the last hour. So whenever there is an eclipse, the Prophet of Allah used to fear it may be that's the sign of last hour. That is, that's why in one of the hadiths it says, Ayatan min ayatillah yukhawwifullahu bihi ibadah. Allah uses to hear his servant. Okay? So the Imam is expected to deliver a khutbah, encourage him to fear Allah, encourage him to repent to Allah, encourage him to be more dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that, to avoid sin and all that. So that is the essence of that khutbah, and that's what the Imam is expected to say in the khutbah. And it is to be done after the prayer. Alright, after the prayer. So what is right in the Muslim? Another narration of Imam Muslim, the Salla Hina Katafat Shams, he prayed when there was the eclipse of the sun, Samani Raka'at, Fi Arba'i Sajadat. This narration says that he prayed how many raka'at? It says, Samani Raka'at, he prayed 8 ruku, Fi Arba'i Sajadat, in 4 sujood. 8 ruku, in 4 sujood. So how many raka'at? Huh? 4 raka'at. Somebody say 2. Explain. How did they arrive at 4 raka'at? Huh? Okay, but it says 4 sujood. So that means that I was doing what I want to do. You understand? It says 4 sujood. And we know that in each raka'at you do 2 sujood. Alright? So for him to say 4 sujood, that indicates that the raka'at was 2. That's why you have 4 sujood. Hey, so what we have now is 4 ruku in each raka. Now, that's what we have now. Okay? And instead of 2 ruku, we have 4 ruku in each raka. So 4 ruku in each raka and 4 sujood. Okay? So that's what this narration says. Okay? That's what this narration says. Now, some scholars are of the opinion that it's likely because this narration is contradicting the first narration, isn't it? That one said 2, it said 4 ruku. This one is saying 8 ruku, and then that's contradiction. Some scholars try to reconcile between these two narrations by saying that it's possible that the event took place several times. Alright, so at one time he prayed 2 raka with 4 ruku, at another time when there was eclipse again, he prayed 2 raka with 4 ruku. You get in each one, it's 8 ruku. So that's 4 ruku. That's how some scholars try to reconcile. While other scholars are saying no, okay, the eclipse of the sun happened in front of the Prophet just once. Okay, it was just one event. Because this narration, I didn't tell you the beginning, alright? But if you go back to Sahih Muslim, you trace the beginning of the event, you will see that all of them link the event to the death of Ibrahim. And Ibrahim died just once, isn't it? So that means that eclipse of the sun happened in front of the Prophet just once. Just one. So if it's soap, then it means some of these narrations will have to be cancelled. Okay? Yes. So scholars say that the most authentic narration is the one that says four rakah. Two rakat with four ruku. Now that's the correct one. Okay. These other ones that say eight, because that, well, I want to come to another one again. That one will say six. Alright. There's one that say eight. There's one that say six. There's one that say ten. Okay. All these ones, they are riwayat shatta. Alright. Oh, say riwayat is shat. That's where a narrator is thicker. But what he is narrating contradicts the narration of another person that is more trustworthy than him. So we accept the narration of the person that is more trustworthy, and we leave this one. Even though it's a trustworthy narrator, but what he's saying now contradicts another person that is stronger than him. You understand? So this so far, the ruwat that narrated two rakat with four ruku, their narration is more acceptable and stronger than this other narration that's mentioning eight, six, or ten. So all these other narrations, we don't work with them. However, it was narrated that some companions did this, okay? Like Ali ibn Abi Talib or Abdullah ibn Abbas, it was narrated that they did some of these prayers with 6 ruku or 8 ruku, okay? But from the Prophet, what is established is 4 ruku, inshallah. Now, so Wa'an Ali, okay, look at Wa'an Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mithlu dhali. Okay, it was reported that Ali radiallahu anhu did something similar to this. Say, Wa'lahu an Jabir. Okay, also he narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that's Imam Muslim. Narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, Salla sikta raka'at. He prayed 6 ruku, the arba'i sajada, with 4 sujood. So that is, each raka'at has 3 ruku now. For example, say 6 ruku, with 4 sujood. So each raka'at has 3 ruku, and normal 2 sujood. Wali Abi Dawud, in the narration of the report of Abu Dawud, an Abi an Ubay ibn Ka'ab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Salla fa raka'a khamsa raka'a. He prayed 5 ruku, wa sajada sajdatain, and 2 sujood. Wa fa'ala fi thaniya mithlu dhalik. And he did in the second raka'a something similar. So at the end of it, you have 10 ruku. Well, like I said, the most authentic and the most acceptable is 4 ruku. These other narrations are not accepted, inshallah. Okay, so Wa'an ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu ma qala, Abdullah ibn Abbas may not be with him and his father said, qala, he said, ma habati rih kafu, never did any wind ever blow illa jatfa and Nabi sallallahu alayhi ala rukubatay, except that the Prophet will fall down on his two knees. Meaning anytime a strong wind blows, the Prophet will fall on his two knees. Wa'ala, and he'll say, Allahumma ja'alha rahmatan. Oh Allah, make this wind to be rahmat, to be mercy. Wala taja'alha azaban. Do not make it to be a punishment. Rawahu Shafi'i wa Tabarani. This hadith is weak. Alright, this hadith is weak. Instead of transmission is weak. The Prophet of Allah, of course, whenever there is strong wind or earthquake, he needs to be scared, okay, thinking it may be the end of time, okay, but not that he falls down and kills me, okay, not that he falls down and kills me, yeah, because he used to say that whenever you see a strong wind, okay, you don't know, it can be punishment, alright, you know, there were people in the past that were destroyed by wind, the people of who? Whose prophet? Ad, alright, Ad. وأما عاد فأملك بريح صرصر عاتية فأملك بريح they were destroyed with wind صرصر the wind was, it was blowing so heavy that it half pound right عاتية so destructive okay no? So when you see wind sometimes it may be above okay it may be above yeah. So we should be to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عنه رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه صلى في زلزلة 6 ركعات. Okay? Yeah, it was never that the Prophet prayed في زلزلة during earthquake. Alright, during earthquake, he prayed 6 ruku, wa arba qiyadat and 4 sujood. Meaning he prayed a prayer similar to Salat al-Kusuf, but it had 6 ruku, so 3 ruku in 8 rak'ah. Alright, wa qala hakaza Salat al-Ayat. Okay, he said that is how you pray whenever you see signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رواه البيهقي وذكر الشافعي عن علي بن ابي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه مثله دون اخره. امام الشافعي also mentioned that علي بن ابي طالب said something like this but without the last part, that has the last part of the ayat. Ali did not say so. So like I said, it was reported that this last one is actually the action of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Okay, Abdullah ibn Abbas is the one who did this prayer during earthquake, not the Prophet of Allah. So that's what scholars differ. Does it mean that whenever there is a sign among the greatest signs of nature, we have to do a prayer like Salat al-Kusuf? Okay, some scholars say yes. Okay, because Abdullah ibn Abbas did this prayer during earthquake. Okay, so when something of supernatural or something extraordinary happens, like when there is, like maybe tsunami, you know tsunami, no? When there was tsunami now and water came and destroyed, maybe, oh, maybe now our flood here. It's something that scares people, isn't it? It's a natural event that is scary, no? It's a natural disaster, a natural disaster. So, does it mean that whenever there is a natural disaster, we should gather ourselves and observe prayer like Salat al-Kusuf? Some scholars say yes, we can do so because Abdullah ibn Abbas did it during earthquake. While other scholars say no, there were also natural disasters during the time of the Prophet, and it was not reported that he did any special prayer apart from that of Kusuf al-Sham. So it's better we stick to the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So, and that is the most authentic opinion. We do not do this type of prayer during other natural disasters. Okay, we only supplicate normally. Okay, we supplicate in our normal prayer, and that we don't have to create a special ibadah, because an ibadah is tawqifiyya, right? So it means you don't do what you are asked to do. Now, since the Prophet is not so, then we don't have to do. Inshallah, is it clear? Now, can we continue? What? So that is the end of the ahadith under Salatu al-Kusuf. Like I said, all the ahadith we are talking about eclipse of the sun, because that's the one that is special. But eclipse of the moon is normal 2 rak'ah prayers, and there's something special about it. Yeah. So we go to Babu Salatu al-Istisqa. This chapter is going to be talking about prayer for seeking rain. That's the meaning of Istisqa. Istisqa means to seek rain. Now, whenever there is drought, right, there's no rainfall everywhere, it becomes dry, our plantation is not growing, then we supplicate to Allah to bring prayer, to bring rain. So how do we do that? We can do that in different ways. We're going to see in the ahadith that we're going to read now. And an Ibn Abbas, رضي الله تعالى عنه ما قال, خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متواضعا, right? متبذلا. He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the messenger of Allah, the Prophet Allah, went out, meaning Salat al-Istisqa is expected to be observed outside the mosque. That's the way we go out for Eid, alright, in the Musalla. Okay? So it says, Kharaj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mutawadhi'an, mutawadhi'an, meaning in a state of humbleness. Okay? Mutabazilan, we are putting on old clothes. Alright? You know, I think we are going out, I think we are going for Eid. But it's not Eid, so no, we don't start putting on new Salat clothes. Isn't it? You are supposed to humble yourself, alright? You are going to seek something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went out with a bad deal, meaning without justification. Put out normal clothes, not the new clothes. Then, mutakhashyan, alright? With khushu. That's the way you stand in prayer with khushu. He went out with humility, alright? With humility. He said, mutarakhilan. Mutarakhil ayki mashi. He was walking gently. That's not mutarakhilan. He was walking gently as he was going to the Musalla. The mutabarri'an, he went out invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atatawru means to invoke Allah with humility, with submission. Okay, so he was invoking Allah with submission. Say, fasalla raka'atayn, he prayed 2 rak'ah. Kama yusalla fil Eid, the way you observe Salat al Eid. Okay, he said, lam yaqtu khutbatakum hadihi. But he did not deliver a khutbah like your khutbah. Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying so to some tabi'un. This hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned this hadith after the death of the Prophet. So he was talking to the tabi'un. He said, لَمْ يَخْطُوْ خُطْبَتَكُمْ هَذِهِ. He did not give a khutbah like your type of khutbah. رَوْا الْخَمْسَ شَوْفِقُوْتَ by the five narrators وَفَخَاهُ الْتِرْمِذِ وَأَبُوْ عَوَانَ وَبُوْ شِبَانِ. Now, so this hadith indicates that when we want to do salat al-istisqa, we are expected to go out. Okay? We are supposed to go out of the mosque, go to a mustalla, similar to where we observe salat al-eid. Okay? That's where we go and observe the prayer. Now, scholars differ. How do we observe salat al-istisqa? How do you observe salat al-istisqa? There are scholars who have opinion that salat al-istisqa is observed just the way we observe salat al-eid. How do we observe salat al-eid? Juma, you do Eid, do Juma. We go to Musalla. We pray one day. Okay? That's no ikama. That's no ikama. What is again? Yeah, tasbih. Okay, this is where the issue is now. That's where the issue is. You know, when he said the way we pray Eid, some scholars say what he means by that is that, okay, we go out to the Musalla, that's where we go for Eid, there will be no Adhan, that's where there's no Adhan during Eid, there will be no Ikama, that's where there's no Ikama, and then we pray. But we pray normal two rakat. We have the Takbirah. You understand? We just pray normal two rakat. While other scholars are saying, no, since he said the way we pray Eid, it means everything is the same thing, including the Takbirah. So in the first rakah, we will do seven takbirat, the way the Imam does, isn't it? In the second rakah, we will do five, or plus the takbirat al-intikal, making six, isn't it? That's how we do salat al-eid. So they are saying that it will contain even the takbirat. Okay, so this is different from, you know, among the scholars, okay? And all of them are trying to explain, you know, kama yusadli fil-eid. Alright, so how do we interpret this? Right. Does it mean everything is similar, including the takbirat, or excluding the takbirat? Whichever one the Imam does is accepted, inshallah. Because the takbirat is not a rukun, not a pillar. Even Salat al-Eid is just a mustahab. Right. If the Imam prays without doing plenty of takbirat, the Salat al-Eid is still valid. You get it? So it's not a problem. So whether the Imam does the takbirat the way we do it during Eid, fine. And if he does not, it is not a problem, inshallah. So that will not cause any disagreement. It's not a problem, inshallah. Al-Muhim, we go out to the Musalla. Now, in other words, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qala. Okay, then we said that there will be khutbah. Okay, also there is difference of opinion among scholars as to the khutbah. When should the khutbah be delivered? Okay, should it be before the prayers or after the prayers? There were different narrations. Alright, there were different narrations. Some narrations indicate, I'm discussing the next hadith now. Some narrations indicated that the khutbah was done before the prayers, while some narrations indicate that it was done after the prayers. Whichever one the Imam does is still okay. Okay, it's not a problem, inshallah. If he does it before the prayer, fine. If he does it after the prayer, fine, it's not a problem. And what does it say in the khutbah? What it says is to supplicate to Allah as well. The khutbah will contain a lot of dua, because you are seeking Allah to bring down rain. And then you also encourage you to repent. Because in the hadith of the Prophet, it said, when people commit sins like what? In that hadith, you mentioned when people reduce weight and measure. Alright, people selling fuel now. You buy 1 liter, but it's not 1 liter. People measuring rice or gari, alright, they place, they move it, they have reduced it. You know, all kind of cheating. Alright? So when people engage in this kind of activity, or it says when they refuse to pay zakat, that's what you mentioned that hadith. Or when they refuse to pay zakat, then Allah will punish them with drought and lack of rain. So the Imam is expected to encourage people to repent, alright, from these things and to be more beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's right to go kufa. In the hadith of Aisha, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qala, she said, Shaka al-Nasu ila Rasulillah, kufur to the matter. People complain to the Messenger of Allah for lack of rain. That means kufur al-matar, lack of rain. They complain, shaka. They complain to the Messenger of Allah for lack of rain. He said, Fa amara bi mimbar. The Prophet ordered for his mimbar. He said they should go and bring the mimbar, that is pulpit, for what that are, for it says, for who the Allah fil Musalla. So they place the mimbar for him at the Musalla, outside the mosque, where they are going to do the prayer. وَوَعَدَ النَّاسِ وعد الناس يوما يخرجون فيه. He now gave people appointment of a day that they are to go out for the prayer. وعد الناس يوما يخرجون فيه. So scholars say that if there is going to be salat al-istisqa, it should not be done suddenly. The imam is supposed to announce, okay, ya jama'ah, on so-so day, we are going out in the morning to so-so place to observe salatu al-istisqa. Do you understand? So that people will know, prepare and come out for the prayer. Okay, so that's what the prophet did. وعد الناس يوما يخرجون فيه. He gave people appointment of a day that they are to go out in it. Say, فَخَرَجَ حِينَ بَدَى حَاجِبُ الشَّمْسِ. He went out when the rays of the sun became appeared. Okay, so just like it is done in the morning, just like Salat al-Eid, or at the same time we are about Salat al-Eid, that's when they are expected to go out. Say, حِينَ بَدَى حَاجِبُ الشَّمْسِ. When the rays, the sun rays appeared. فَقَعَدَ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ. He sat on the member. فَكَبَّرَ. He did takbir. وَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ. He praised Allah. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then he said, إِنَّكُمْ شَقَوْتُمْ جَدْبَ دِيَارِكُمْ. You people complain of drought in your town. This is already khutbah now. Okay, you can see that means he is delivering this khutbah before the prayer. So إِنَّكُمْ شَقَوْتُمْ جَدْبَ دِيَارِكُمْ. Say, you people complain of drought in your town. وَقَدْ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَدْعُوهُ. Allah has commanded you to supplicate to Him. وَوَعَدَكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَجِيبَ لَكُمْ. And Allah has promised to answer your supplication in the Quran. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Isn't it? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. So it means Allah has asked to call on Him and that He will respond. ثم قال. Then the Prophet said, الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين لا إله إلا الله يفعل ما يريد اللهم أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت أنت الغني ونحن الفقراء أنزل علينا الغيث واجعل ما أنزلت علينا قوة وبلاغا إلى حين. So the Prophet made this supplication. Okay, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Yaf'alu ma yurid, Allah does what He wills. Okay, Allahumma anta Allah, oh Allah, you are Allah. Alright, you are the God. Okay, la ilaha illa ant, there is no deity worthy of worship except you. Anta al-Ghani, you are the self-sufficient. وَنَحْنُ الْفُقَرَى. We are the ones in need. Allah does not need anybody, isn't it? We are the ones who need Allah's assistance. So, أَنْتَ الْغَنِينَ وَنَحْنُ الْفُقَرَى. أَنْزِلْ عَلَيْنَا الْغَيْثِ. Oh Allah, bring down upon us rain. Al-Ghayth is rain. Okay? وَجْعَلْ مَا أَنْزَلْتَ عَلَيْنَا قُوَّةً. Make what you bring down upon us to be a source of strength. The rain that you are bringing in, bringing now, let it be a source of strength. وَبَلَاغًا إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Let it be a source of a means to attain our provision for some time. Okay? ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. Then the Prophet raised his two hands. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ حَتَّى رُؤِيَ بَيَاضُ الْبَيْنِ. He continued raising his hand till they saw the whiteness of his armpit. Meaning he raised his hand very high. Okay? So they said that people can see the whiteness of his armpit. Okay? ثُمَّ حَوَّلَ إِلَى النَّاسِ ظَهْرَهُ. Then he turned his back to the people, meaning he faced the Qibla. وَقَلَّبَ رِدَاءَهُ. And he turned his cloak. Alright, his rida, the cloak on his body, he turned it. Okay? In another hadith, it was mentioned that he turned it by making the right side to be on the left side on the right side. In other narration, it said he brought the inner part outside and the outer part inside. All is permitted. وَهُوَ رَافِعُ يَدَيْهِ. While he was still raising his two hands. ثُمَّ أَكْبَلَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Then he now turned to face the people. وَنَزَلَ. After supplicating, وَنَزَلَ. And he came down from the pulpit. فَصَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ. So after that, he now prayed two rak'ah. فَأَنْشَأَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى صَحَابَةً. All of a sudden, immediately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a cloud in the sky. فَرَعَدَ. Right, there was thunder in that cloud. وَبَرَكَتْ. And there was lightning. Alright, ثُمَّ أَمْطَرَ. Then that cloud brought down rain. رواه أبو داود وقال غريب وإسناد جيد. أبو داود said this hadith is غريب but the إسناد chain of transmission is okay. So that's how we do Salatu al-Istisqa. Okay? That's how we do Salatu al-Istisqa. So the Imam started to pray. Take note. He said, as he's delivering the sermon, he's supplicating and he raised his hand. Okay? This is the only place where the Imam is expected to raise his hand in supplication while delivering khutbah. Do you understand? All other khutbah, either khutbah of Eid, or khutbah of Juma, or khutbah during the Salat al-Khushu, when the Imam supplicates, he's not expected to raise his hand like this. Do you understand? See now, Juma, do you see Imam raising his hand? If you send Imam like that, he's doing wrong. What he's doing is wrong, alright? It's not very okay? Imam. This is the only situation where the Imam is addressing khutbah and he raises his hand in supplication. All other khutbah, when the Imam supplicates, he does not raise his hand up. That was how the Prophet delivered it. Okay? Now, in addition, here we said that while he is about to face the Qibla to supplicate, that is when he is expected to, you know, turn his cloak. So if you don't have cloak, in addition, and I remove it and turn it upside down and wear it again, you are laughing. Can I do that? What do you think? What do you think? Now? I said you have to do this right, so if you have to do this right, you will do that. You don't get this right, but you don't do that. Both how? Okay, even from home, not before that, even from home. No, we say it's when he's facing the Qibla. You know that like the Qibla is from home. Alright? He turned the cloak when he was about to face the Qibla. Meaning, when he was going to the Musalla, he went in the summer dressing. Because it's when you are about to face the Qibla, that's when you are expected to turn the cloak. And that is the cloak now. Yeah, Al-Sin Baba. That's the cloak. You go to Al-Sin Baba. Yeah, wow. Now, so. Now? No, it's good that let us brainstorm. Because he didn't mention that now. I mean, so that's why we have to brainstorm and see what to add. Because, you know, we now, we're not using radar, isn't it? We're not wearing radar. So that is why. There are scholars who have, you know, that whatever you are wearing, you can remove it and turn it upside down. Okay? There is a narration like that that says that he was trying to bring the bottom of his cloak to the top, but it was becoming difficult for him, so he just turned it up and bringing the inside outside. There is a narration like that. Otherwise, most other narration is that he turned the cloak by taking the left side to the right side, the right side to the left side. This can only be done when you are putting on cloak, do you understand? Or when you are using radar. Radar actually is just that garment that you put on top of the body, the upper part of the body. So that's why, like Sheikh Hussein in his book, in his commentary on the Lugh Moran, he was saying that if you are putting on skirt, you don't need to do that. That was his opinion. He said that you don't need to do that because you cannot put left side to the right side. While others are saying, no, the essence, what's the essence of turning the cloak? What's giving the wisdom behind it? Humility. The wisdom behind it is that it's optimism. You are hoping, no, there's drought, there's dryness, no rain. The situation is tense, it's hot. So the Prophet turned his cloak, hoping that just the way he turned his cloak, Allah will change the situation. That's the essence of changing the cloak. You get it? That's the wisdom behind it. So that's what it means now. Okay? Well, that can also. Let us read this slide and then we'll stop the time. It says, وَكِسَّةُ التَّحْوِيلِ. Alright, the story of Tahweel, changing, turning the cloak, fit Sahih, was reported by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, min hadith Abdullah bin Zayd, وَفِيهِ. In that hadith, it says, فَتَوَجَّهَ إِلَى الْكِبْلَةِ يَدُوْ. He faced the Qibla, supplicating.
ثم صلى ركعتين then he prayed two rakats جهر فيهما بالقراءة if an abyssal will need to take note of جهر فيهما بالقراءة he recited aloud like I said usually the nawafil of the daytime are supposed to be done recitation is going to be silent but whenever it's going to be in communication then the imam is expected to recite aloud alright so to recite aloud so that people it will draw the attention of the congregation ولدار قطني من مرسل أبي جعفر الباكر Imam Daruqutni in the Mursal of I won't say this is Mursal is the hadith that the chain of transmission from the Tabi'i straight to the Prophet ﷺ. So there is a break in the chain because every chain of transmission from the Tabi'i is supposed to mention Sahabi before Prophet. Alright, because the Tabi'i did not meet the Prophet. So the Tabi'i cannot say Qala Rasulullah ﷺ, the message of Allah, he didn't see the Prophet. He's supposed to narrate from a companion. So whenever you have a hadith in the chain, they mention this person from this person from this person. Then when you get to the Tabi'i to the Prophet, then this hadith is said to be what? Mursal, alright, he has dropped the companion, alright, so that it breaks in the chain. So, usually when a hadith is like that, many scholars of hadith consider the hadith to leak automatically, alright, because the chain is not complete. But sometimes the chain may do it, but the meaning in the hadith may be okay. Now, Al-Muhim, Imam Daruqutni, in the Mursal of Abi Ja'far al-Baqir, he says in that hadith, he said, وَحَوَّلَ رِدَاءَهُ لِيَتَحَوَّلْ الْكَعْفِ That's what I said, alright? He changed, he turned his rida, his cloak, so that the drought in the community will also change as he's changing his cloak, okay? So that was why he did that changing. You can stop here, right? Because of time. So that we stop here, we'll continue the many hadith, inshallah, next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته او كيف تكون فاتحه دي ان شاء الله Alright, everybody in the congregation is also expected to turn their clothes and also to raise their hands as the imam is communicating. Alright? No, I said it very clearly. When you are raising from the ruku, from the first ruku, alright, you are supposed to say, Sami Allah liman hamida. That's not Allah Allah. Okay, there is a narration of Aisha, radiallahu anha, where she stated specifically, the narration is in Sahih Bukhari, where she said, ثُمَّ رَقَعَ وَقَالَ سَمِعْ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ Clearly, she said it in that narration. Okay, it's there in Sahih Bukhari, you will see there. So, what the Imam is supposed to say, that is the first ruku we are talking about, isn't it? So, the first ruku is supposed to say, سَمِعْ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ رَقَعَنَا وَلَكَ Then you now start recitation again. Start Fatiha and Surah, then go again and keep saying Samiya Allah Liman Hamida, Rabbana Lak Al-Hamd before going for sujood. Okay, let me to ask you a question. Supposing you come to the prayer, at the time you came, the Imam has already done the first ruku. Do you understand? So you met him standing reciting now after he has done the first ruku. So what happens to your prayer? You ever have a question? No. And that's because I'm asking now. It's not me, I'm asking. But you know you're going to get another ruku now. You know he has two ruku. So you miss one, you get one.
I'm not asking anyone.
And you know the problem here is that you get to the bottom of the pool and it's two. So do we all agree with this? Any other opinion? Not only one.
Mm.
No, ya pasa, ¿no?
Okay, it's asking another question now. Is that able to pay back?
Means you pay back. That's what you say. It's not like that. So you don't need to pay back. If you miss Nafla, if you miss Raka, you don't need to pay back. Pay back now, I mean. Now. So that was not the way. And actually, what you say is right. That is the opinion of many scholars. Many scholars have the opinion that if you miss the first ruku, you have missed that rakah. Right? Because to them, ruku is ruku, it's a tila. Alright? And that first ruku is a tila. The second one is an addition. Alright? So that one is sunnah. You understand? Just like the takbirat in our philosophy. Alright? The first takbir is a question of ihram, which is a tila. Alright? The subsequent seven ones that we are doing, they're just addition. You understand? So the same thing, the first ruku is the tila in the prayer. So the second one is sunnah. Okay, so that is why if you miss that first ruku, you have automatically missed that rakah. So after the imam says salam, you have to repay back. And when you are going to repay back now, you have to repay back doing two ruku, everything together. Alright? That's why you got one, but that one it doesn't amount to anything. So you recite, go for ruku, rise, and also do again. So you pray, you say back exactly the way you need the rakah. That's the opinion of many scholars. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. So what? Meaning, is it indicated in the Quran that we should do 6 to Shawwal? That was your question? Or? Hadith. Okay, so it's not in the Quran. Alright, there's no verse in the Quran that says we should do 6 to Shawwal. Alright, well, you have an authentic hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari where he said, the Prophet said, whoever fasts Ramadan and follows it up with 6 days fasting, you have the reward of somebody who fasted the whole year. Alright, that's the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and it's an authentic hadith. Alright, it's there in Sahih Muslim. Look at it. So, but in the Quran, there's no verse that says that. Yes, the kusur is supposed to be done in congregation, alright, but where a person meets the congregation, maybe where you are there's no congregation, or before you came to mosque, the congregation has already finished and you want to do it, you can do it alone, alright, it's not a problem, inshallah. It's permissible to pray individually, and since you cannot, you have not memorized long verses, you can hold the Quran also, alright, scholars permit holding the Quran in Tarawih prayer, so we can use the same fatwa for the kusur prayer as well. So you can hold the mushaf for those who have not memorized long chapters of the Quran, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.